everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4 Holla Slay Spectacular Mishmash Podcast. My name is Mike Bloom. Back at the end of 2018, didn't think we'd be talking about Drag Race for the rest of 2018 since we signed off last at the beginning of July, but like a Shangela in a box, a surprise has come our way in the form of this 1-2 punch of Drag Race to finish out the year. But of course, I am not alone. I am joined by my coterie of co-hosts. First, let me welcome someone who I've been kikiing with basically every week since we signed off for Drag Race, talking about Big Brother or Survivor in some way, shape, or form, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you doing?
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We are back again already, but I don't care. I'm so excited, and I can't wait to break all of this stuff down.
And of course, we are joined, as always, by one of our experts on Drag Race. You have heard him muse about Big Brother all summer long, but he's back to talk about quite a different reality show once more, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Is it going to be like Shangela in the box, or is it going to be like a case of psoriasis coming back, Mike? That's what I want to know.
It's a rash, not a herpes sore, Brent.
Yes.
So a lot of, even though it's only been a few months, a lot of stuff has happened. Liana has gone traveling. I found out I'm going to be a father. Brent pissed off an entire internet fan base. There's been a lot going on between the three of us. And here we are to talk about Drag Race at large coming our way. This really came as, you know, a bit of a surprise to me, not only the Holla Slay Spectacular, which I think, safe to say, the main focus of this podcast will be on All Stars 4 proper, but we'll definitely talk about the Holla Slay stuff near the end. But one big thing I was surprised with, which was how quickly All Stars 4 was coming. You know, All Stars 3 premiered at the end of January this year. I believe now it's been bumped up basically a month and a half to next week. So let's just start before we get into everything by sort of going around the line here. Brent, when you found out that Drag Race All-Stars 4 was coming back, since it was sort of an eventuality, were you surprised to find out that it would be coming back so quickly after All-Stars 3 and Season 10 ended?
Honestly, not surprised in the least. This is a cash cow for VH1. When it moved over to VH1, it got the highest ratings it's ever gotten. It's only gotten more popular, more mainstream, more draggish as time has gone on. I think there's some people who rightfully quibble with the show that maybe in some parts it's been diluted. But if you look at like the casting on season 10, as well as the casting on All Stars 4, it's more diverse than ever. And so, no, in a word, I am not surprised. In fact, I would have been more surprised if they had gone the way of CBS and The Amazing Race and put it off for another, you know, 6 months and left it there for the fans to stew about. No, they want to give the fans what they want. They know what's hot right now. And Drag Race is certainly hot. And so they're going to give us plenty of it.
Yeah, they're really doubling down, which I think totally makes sense considering how popular and how, I mean, it's just exploding, it feels like, now even more so. I will say, though, I was surprised that it did come out in December, because I thought, oh, okay, if we haven't heard about it yet, they'll probably wait until January, because it's going to run through the holiday season, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Like, it just has to. So I didn't necessarily think that was going to happen, but you know what? I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing where, like, you look back and you're like, oh, it was only 5 months ago that we were talking about Drag Race. But at least I think between the three of us, there has been so much stuff that has been covered and happening in our lives between then that it sort of does feel like forever. And I am here for it as well. It is a little crazy that by the end of December, we will have talked about 4 separate instances of RuPaul's Drag Race if we're counting this holiday special. But you know what? I feel like All Stars, you know, might be a bit of a different story because it's not like we're seeing all the season 10 queens again, necessarily, only a couple of them. Not to mention, maybe production might want us to forget about All Stars 3, as quickly as possible, just putting my, you know, tinfoil hat on there. And there will certainly be a lot of talk about, you know, what production might or might not intend with All Stars 4. Before we get into the cast at large, because there's a lot of really, really fun stuff to talk about here. Liana, general first impressions of the 10 queens we got to meet, earlier this month?
Yeah, when we talk about All Stars, it is also now sort of morphed into second chances a little bit. And sort of I feel like this is the mishmash of that, where there's people who I could definitely see on an All-Star season, but the fact that it's happening, you know, within a year of All-Stars 3 makes it feel less like All-Stars. And so there's some people, Pheromone, who, you know, maybe this is more of a second chances type season. But I think for me, I've identified like seven queens that I'm just super excited about. And I do think that they have All-Star potential.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, just looking at the cast, I'm really excited about the cast, mainly because I think that there are probably six people who can win, and I think there's four cannon fodder slots. But I do think there are six people that, honest to God, have a chance to win that I could see taking the crown. And I like that. I like that it's not an Alaska situation where you kind of knew from the beginning she's probably going to win unless something crazy happens. And then, of course, she ended up winning. Spoiler alert for season two of All Stars. The other thing that I really like is that this is an eclectic bunch of queens, but there are also some queens that I'm very encouraged to discover what have you learned? How have you grown since we last saw you? Not just Pheromone, but Gia Gunn, Jasmine Masters, these kind of queens. If I'm being honest, the cannon fodders of the group, the people who I really don't in my heart of hearts think have a chance to win the crown. But I'm looking forward to somebody like, you know, Tatiana, who I thought was cannon fodder on the All-Stars 2. I think it was All-Stars 2. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Yeah. Who totally proved me wrong, totally slayed it. And I have been a fan since. And I was not a fan of hers the first time around. And it was like discovering something like a toy that you'd put down. And then 5 years later, you pick it up and you're like, this is kind of cool. I kind of like this now. So I'm excited to basically, is there anybody in this cast that's going to give me something that makes me give them a second look, or is it just the same old same old?
Yeah, very nice theming, by the way, Brent, with the toy stuff. Again, very, very appropriate for the holidays. I would have called that like the Aja factor almost. I felt a very similar mentality towards Aja last time, where it's like, okay, she was only really cast for the drama, you know, let's see what she brings. And she blew me out of the water with how much she improved, which is really interesting considering that she just came off of her season. What I will say is, you know, while you might say seasons one and two are bona fide, quote unquote, All-Stars, season three, like we talked about before, Liana just mentioned it, might be more second chances. I'm going to theme All-Stars 4 as just people I wanted to see back on my screen. Like, yeah, there are a lot of people here where, like, I wouldn't necessarily call them All-Stars or even people that, like, I feel deserve a second chance. These are just really fun personalities. And
yes,
I was just beaming from ear to ear. You know, I watched the day of, on November 9th, the reveal special that Trixie did with Katya and Detox, which was lovely. I just loved watching the three of them work together. They just bounce so nicely off of each other. But then watching the Meet the Queens videos, you know, watching some behind the scenes stuff, even watching the little like 1.5 minute best of compilations they would make when they were announcing the queens, like, it just made me really happy to see all these personalities back. You know, we really range from, you know, the literal Miss Congenialities to like the most villainous queens that we have ever seen. I am really, really excited to see how this cast interacts. We do have, you know, three from one season, a couple from another, but it doesn't feel like we have any sort of ingrained factions that might play into the voting and everything. We can certainly talk about how the voting might play out when we review each of the queens, but this just seems like such a fun group of queens that I'm really excited to see them participate in any sort of challenge and interact in any sort of way.
Yes, I want to say really quickly that you, what you referenced there when they did the reveal, and it was, you know, Trixie and Katya and Detox, and then all of these fans were like, why is Detox there? Because, you know, everybody's a freaking Trixie and Katya fan, and I love Detox on Twitter. I am quoting her here. This is Detox on Twitter. Honestly, all these "why is Detox there?" comments about RuPaul's Drag Race announcement with Katya Zamo and Trixie Mattel. Bitch, I've been doing drag since before y'all fools were born. Eat my dick from the back with the tape on still, to be honest. Catch us on VH1 next week, kiddies.
Oh my gosh.
She is not having it.
Oh my God.
Officially.
I'm happy she was there. I'm happy she was there, though, during the reveal. I will say, Mike, I like this idea of this is Team Good TV or All-Stars yes. for Good TV, because each one of them, I'm just looking at the list now, independently, I would like watch them on their own show. And so to have them all sort of together is just going to be a hot mess of entertainment.
Yeah. And what I will say is, you know, I am someone who will stick up for the first half of All-Stars 3 in particular. While it did sort of maybe pride drama above drag, there was a lot of really interesting stuff going on there that didn't necessarily make it RuPaul's best friends race. I have confidence that All-Stars 4 is going to sort of combine that element of All-Stars 3 with the genuine artistry and creativity that came out of All-Stars 2. We have a bunch of wackadoo people here that are going to, that totally worked outside of the box. So that just makes me really excited to see, even if, you know, the challenges might be a bit lackluster, hopefully we don't get a repeat of that Divas challenge from last season. No matter what the challenge is, I'm sure they're going to bring their own sense of personality to it. So I am personally extremely excited to see it. Let's get down to business here. Let's start talking through each of these queens. Brent, can you set up this rather unique way that we're doing this draft this season?
Yes. In fact, let me go to my Twitter to make sure that I have it in order. Okay, so here's the thing. We, at least I, and then you all agreed with me, that this is a bit of a top-heavy draft. Like, you know, as I said, there's five or six queens that I think have a chance to take the crown. And there's 10 queens and there's three of us. So it's not really easy to do it in a way where it's a, you know, traditional snake draft that we've done in the past. So what we're doing is basically a semi-snake draft. So it's the same as it always is, you know, where, you know, the person who picks first also picks sixth. And, you know, two gets five and three gets four. But then once we get to six, we're going to go back to the end again. So whoever picks third, whoever's the last picker, will get the seventh pick. And then basically what I'm trying to do is balance the fact that somebody's going to get an extra queen against the fact that this is a top heavy draft. So all you need to know is that the person who picks first is going to get the extra queen, but they're also going to get the last two picks. That's what you need to know, girl. Bye. Without a flow chart, it's really hard to explain it to you guys.
We'll just do it. You know,
we're just going to do it. Yeah. So we're not going to be like Rob, who tries to explain it. Rob got so much hate when he had that, you know, like funky Big Brother way that he, yeah, and people were just like not having it in the YouTube comments. So I'm like, you know what? We're just going to do our thing and eat it.
Well, plus, like, we can, you know, it's not outside the realm of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars for us to just like change the rules in the middle of the game. So I think we can definitely, yes, do that this time.
And then I pick all the picks.
Yeah, exactly. And rule. Then the viewers vote on who gets what picks.
Right. Oh my God.
Well, speaking of this, Liana, you were the de facto winner of our last draft of Drag Race Season 10. You correctly predicted that Miss Aquaria would take it all. We of little faith doubted you initially, but you came through in the end. So it is your duty to assign who gets what pick in this demented snake draft that Brent has concocted.
Okay, so this is the order that I've picked, but I also think we should talk about the format of this season as best we understand it before we actually do the draft, just because, okay, I'm curious because it might influence my picks. Okay, so in terms of the draft order, Mike, you're going to pick first. Okay. Then Brent, you're going to pick second, and I'm going to pick third.
Okay.
I will gladly get, you know, the top cut of meat and the dregs as well. I'm all about that meat. Well, Liana, talk to me a bit about, you know, what speculation has been going on about the format. And this is also to say, if you out there don't want to necessarily know about the format, if you want to keep in true winter fashion your earmuffs on until the season airs in a couple weeks, feel free to skip ahead about three or so minutes. But for the rest of us, I'd love to dig into this tea. What have you guys been hearing about the way that things are going to be in All-Stars 4?
Yeah, so, I mean, in terms of what I know that the lip sync for your legacy is still in play. But Brent mentioned that apparently on Reddit, there's some rumors maybe that there's some sort of twist that's involved. And then I've heard this briefly, and I can't remember where. I probably read it. Just blame Reddit. that it's the voting is still, like, the jury voting that we saw in All-Stars 3 is still there.
Oh,
but
no.
It could also be, like, there could also be some twist with that. So that's all that I've heard.
Yeah, well, see, basically, we don't know shit is what she's saying, because we don't know any of this for sure. Here's the thing I think I know for certain, that it is lip sync for your legacy, that the winner's going to decide the elimination, just like we have in the past few seasons. However, there's some twist involved, and we don't know what the twist is. Now, I will say this, that this is a seasoned group of queens. Let's be honest, there's a couple queens that have been on. This is their third go around now. So basically, have they learned their lessons from the past when you have to, you know, basically, you should have eliminated Shangela or Trixie. You should have eliminated Alaska, and you didn't. like, are they realizing that now? And so, you know, maybe Rue, you know, as the contestant, it's just like Survivor. As the contestants grow and adapt to the game, production has to grow and adapt to the game. And so has Rue done something to offset the fact that, you know, Latrice could get sent home first if Jasmine Masters wins the first challenge or something? You know, I don't know what's in store here. But I would think that there must be something like a second chances maybe in play.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, going into it. You know, I think every All-Stars, there's always been like a second chances kind of thing. So I have to anticipate that the queens know that as well.
Yeah, you'd have to assume that there are some hallmarks in there, like bringing back a queen at the halfway point. It seems like now the jury is here to stay. I don't know. I'm excited for the end of All-Stars 4 when they pull every queen except those who have competed in All-Stars 4 to vote for the winner. So they're going from Porkchop all the way up to Aquaria. It's going to be like 100 queens voting. It's going to be by majority vote. It's like the Senate.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I had heard that the jury was out. No pun intended.
Oh, okay.
I had heard that there is no jury this year. So I don't know that they're doing something else. But it's not what they've done in the past, but it's also not the jury. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know shit. We don't know shit. That's what we're saying. We're just speculating.
All right. Oh, so with my first pick, that none of that has changed my decision whatsoever. I am ecstatic that I have this first pick. There are a lot of good queens out there, and I am sad that there are probably some of my favorite queens that I've ever seen on screen that I'm probably going to have to pass up. But as soon as I saw this lovely woman with the white streak through her hair, and I saw she was coming back for a third time, I knew she has a damn good chance of finally taking that crown. With the first pick of the All-Stars 4 draft for RuPaul's Drag Race, I am taking Miss Manila Luzon for my team. Thank you very much.
All right. Ooh. You better work, Carl. You know that's Manila's real name.
Oh, yeah. Carl Westenberg.
Carl.
God. I've been rewatching season 3 in preparation for this season just because it was like one of the first ones I've watched, and it's very much a distant memory. And so that name just sort of like flashes up on my screen every single time. So that name is ingrained in my head for some reason.
Yeah. That's just one. I see all their, you know, quote unquote real names on here. Like, you know, like Trinity is Ryan Taylor. Naomi is Davis, you know, like they're people that Latrice is Timothy Wilcox. These are ones that I'm like, you know what? I totally get you. I can see as a boy, I can see your mom said, you know what? I'm gonna name you Timothy Wilcox. I get it. But Manila as Carl Westerberg. Anyway, talk about Manila, Mike. Tell us what you love.
So Manila, for those of you that might not remember, so she is one of the old school queens coming back. I do like how, you know, Drag Race has done this stuff in both All-Stars 2 and All-Stars 3 of sort of including peppering in, you know, the All-Stars 1 era group of queens. She was the runner up from season 3, still the show's like longest season in terms of episodes aired. And she was partnered with the other old school queen in this season, Latrice Royale, in All-Stars 1. She was considered a pretty heavy front runner at the time, because, you know, from what I gleaned, when season 3 aired, there was generally the consensus of Manila was robbed. So when her and Latrice came back, it's like, perfect. 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 = 0, apparently, where they won the first challenge, and then they sort of lip-synced for the next two challenges. But Manila on her own, I mean, Katya and Detox and Trixie talk about this really nicely, that she's just so freaking well-rounded, and I'm not just talking about them hips. She is super creative and super crafty. She's really funny, even though the challenges that she ironically doesn't do that well at are the ones that involve scripted comedy. Her only lip sync that she had in season 3 was the infamous MacArthur Park one against Delta Work. But it was when she failed during the stand-up comedy challenge, which Shangela killed in her original iteration of Laquifa. The other one was when she was doing like that, I think it was the RuPaul's Gaffin in All-Stars 1. So that's her only Achilles heel. But the fact of the matter is, from a design perspective, from a creativity perspective, and just from a pure, I don't know, a pure all-around Jack/Jill-of-all-trades perspective, I feel like she is absolutely up there. And I feel like she's also, this is her third time around the block, and she's enough of a seasoned queen at this point that she knows who she is and she knows what she needs to bring to RuPaul. So I think she, barring any sort of crazy Ben de la Creme-esque antics going on, I really think she has the goods to go all the way.
Yeah, I think this is a really solid pick. I think she definitely has the it factor. I mean, spoiler alert for season three, but she is the runner up that season. So obviously this is somebody who can compete really well. I mean, I think the biggest criticism is sort of this. I don't know if ageism is the right thing, but it's like, oh, OK, here's somebody who competed on RuPaul, in season three. And can she sort of stand the test of time? And I think absolutely she can. I think some of her comedy, looking back on that season now, is like, looks a little racy, and a little offensive, and like, oh, okay, so you're gonna stereotype all Asians to like sort of all be the same. Like, that is honestly my biggest reservation. But I think she is able to overcome that, and she's just gorgeous and is really able to put together some iconic looks. And I think it's a really strong pick.
Yeah, let's be honest. She was freaking robbed the first time around on All Stars 1. She was robbed. She was robbed. She was robbed. That whole All Stars 1 is almost wiped from my memory as a bunch of fuckery. That's what it was. That team challenge bullshit. It was terrible. Put her and Latrice together, and then both of them were eliminated. It was terrible. It was absolutely, I can't even believe Ruth thought that was a good idea. It was just freaking terrible. Anyway, look, I think this is a great pick. Here's the thing. I'm wondering, like, how much recency bias is there on RuPaul's Drag Race? And I take some consolation in the fact that, RuPaul has brought back, queens from all the way back in season one, and they've made it all the way to the finals. So that's great. But on the other hand, I do worry that in the end, it's going to be a recent queen who takes the crown, and I don't want that to be true, because I feel like that people like Manila Luzon, like, they're not even the same drag queen they were 5 years ago when mm-hmm. we saw them on RuPaul's Drag Race, or however long it's been since we saw her. And so I'm excited to see, like, even somebody like her, who I've seen a lot, and I see her on WOW Presents. She's always guest starring. She's always hosting on all of their segments on RuPaul's Drag Race and beyond, and in fashion and whatever. And I'm really, really excited to see her. I do hope that she's able to make amends for All Stars 1 and have a great run. Like, to me, she's a seasoned queen. I think they all respect her. I think they're maybe a little bit afraid of her. I agree with you, mm-hmm. Liana, that maybe you worry a little bit about some of the comedy that may not be appropriate 10 years later. However, I'm a big believer of the school of thought, and maybe not everybody is from the school of thought, and I grant you that that's true, that if you're from said group, you can make fun of said group. So, when I get on a podcast and I talk about the bunch of Moes that are out there and, all the queens that are flaming away, I can get away with it because I'm a part of said group. So I'm thinking that Manila can get away with her unique brand of comedy because she is Asian and Filipina herself. But we'll see what the public says. And I'm excited to see what she's able to do.
It also took me so long, and I feel ashamed for this as a Survivor fan, to realize like her Filipino connection with Luzon, which is not only a province in the Philippines, but also a tribe name in Survivor Cagayan, and also in Survivor South Africa. So it's like, it's a weird like bridging of our reality TV worlds. I'm really excited. And I mean, if you were talking about, you could also bring in, into light here, if there is a jury system, I do feel like, I love Miss Kennedy Davenport, but you have to feel like one of the reasons why she ended up in that top two was because she sort of had this convincing narrative as to, why I deserve a spot there. I really want to sort of, bolster my image by winning this title. And I mean, I know Manila has moved on from the unfortunate passing of her boyfriend of so many years, Sahara Davenport of season two, but she's an active AIDS activist now. Like, there is a story as to like what she could quote unquote do with the title, even if it just means a photoshopped framed photo that could convince a possible jury of queens to give her the title, even if they are slanting a bit more recency bias.
Mm. I also do wonder if the, you had your shot on All Stars 1 thing is going to factor in. To be 100% honest, I completely blocked All Stars 1 from my memory, so I actually don't know what you're talking about, Mike, when you talk about All Stars 1. But I can sort of feel it. Like, oh, well, you already had your shot, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, like her, the only people that would apply to is her and Latrice, and there's no way that they're going to say that to Latrice. She's just she's a freaking goddess. And to me, Manila's right there with her. I think they have the respect of the other queens. And I think that anybody who might be saying that, the only people who I think would say that would be like bitter people like Jasmine Master. and I don't think anybody's really going to listen to what she has to say. By the way, I will say her promo look, stunning. Brown cow, stunning. She's not really a brown cow, but she's stunning. I mean, not just the white streak through her hair, which is like, that's what she does. She's iconic about that. But the overall, the dress is so asymmetrical and interesting in the parts where it shows skin and where it doesn't. Then there's like a bit of a nude illusion part with the skirt. Everything about it, all the way down to the dress hits the floor and then some. The shoes are to die for. I'm in, along with the pins in her hair. I am here for it, bitch.
Yeah, yes, can I just talk for a second about the promo theming? Because I think that in All Stars 3, from what I remember, I think we were all a little like, on the gold. This is a winter theme. I believe that Rue even said in the new promo, winter takes all, which makes me very nervous that Ivy Winters is going to come in at the last second and end up, it's a spoiler for what's to come. But it ends up being, since it's premiering in the winter, they really went for this more snow-like feel. And I will say across the board, these are some really fantastic looks. Just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's like the iridescent white / like the blue and purple going on, but like, I don't know. These really stick out to me much more than the gold.
Yeah, it really... Liana, it really gives them freedom to do whatever they want because you have a little bit of white or crystal or that sort of color shade thrown in them, but then you can put in lights of blue hues and pink hues and even some people have a little bit of yellow hues going on. Whereas I feel like the gold just looks cheap after a while, but this was great. And not only that, the promos that they did where they were all like the crown was encased in ice and they're all like using a hatchet to like get to the crown and pull it out. I mean, like, I just thought the theming of this season was really, really great.
Yeah, I'm looking at the All-Stars 3 looks now, and I totally get what you're saying. They almost feel flat with the gold, it's too much gold. Whereas with the silver, even though, some of these outfits are all silver, there's so many different colors reflecting off of them, and I don't know if that's like the lighting or the fabric or whatever the case is, but it definitely feels like there's more depth. And Manila looks like a freaking queen. Like, she is already going to take this.
How dare you call the gold photo shoot flat when Milk was a very lumpy model for that one with all the muscles?
God, what a disaster.
I'm very happy that Pigmino, I'm just really excited to see. I hope she lasts enough episodes to just show off all the crazy looks she's gonna put out there, because that's one of the things I remember most from Manila. So I'm excited to see pineapples on pineapples, hopefully, for one of the theme runways.
Oh my God. Also, she said something in her the video for this season that she's going to take her wig off and like Sasha Velour have little crowns falling out. I just laughed out loud to that. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, Brent, you're up next, right? With pick number two.
I am up next, and this is an easy pick for me. This is somebody who I think in another universe wins season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race. I think that she was a contender. I think the public wanted her to win, and it just didn't work out for her. It's Trinity Taylor, bitch. Trinity Mother Evan Taylor is here.
Trinity the Tuck. Rebranded since season 9.
she is a professional, as Shangela would say. She knows how to play the game. She knows how to work these kind of pageant-esque challenges that RuPaul has coming down the pike. I think she has a good relationship with most of the other queens. I haven't heard of her getting in a tiff, even though she is a little bit like, she reminds me of myself. She's got a little bit of a hothead. She says what she thinks. And let me just tell you, this promo look is everything. Out of all 10 queens, this is my favorite look. I mean, I know that it's winter based and it's white and silver based, but my God, she pulled in so many other colors. I see pink, I see yellow, I see purple, I see blue, I see a little pink magenta in her hair, and I mean, like, everything from the shoes to the way the dress hits her thighs, all the way up to the way the hair is done. It just looks gorgeous. She looks like a freaking Barbie doll. I have every confidence that she can win. As I said, I think she really should have one season 9, or at least should have got to the final 2. And I don't know what she could have done if she got to the final 2. I mean, Peppermint barely won that lip sync, let's be honest. And Trinity, I think, made the mistake of doing her big reveal too soon in that lip sync for the crown. If she doesn't do that, I think she makes it to the end. And Sasha was great during the first lip sync, but she wasn't amazing during the second lip sync. I think Trinity could have taken it. Anyways, that's ancient history. She's back now to try to win the crown. And I think it's going to be very hard to knock her off. If these queens are playing for keeps, they will get rid of her pronto. I don't know that she's really close with many of the other queens, so maybe that would be something that you might worry about with her. And I'm just talking out my ass. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just I don't see her kikiing with a lot of queens on social media and whatnot. She lives down in Florida. A lot of the other queens live in New York or Los Angeles. And so I basically wonder how much relationship does she have with this cast, and are they going to see her to the point where they see her as a threat that they just have to get rid of. And that would be my only concern. Outside of that, I think she's got it. I think if I had to pick right now, I think she's going to take the crown.
Mm. So she did say that she was going to be the most underestimated, which I was like, girl, I think that's in your head, because I think she comes across definitely as a threat. And I think also just in her drive to win, like, you can almost feel it oozing through the screen when you watch her talk about, you know, wanting to win and wanting to take the crown. And yeah, she does look like a freaking Barbie doll. In this picture, I think for me, from her promos picture, I think for me, I went to the Hollis. I can't remember what it was actually called, but there is a bunch of queens that are going around doing sort of a holiday RuPaul's show all over the country. And Trinity was one of the queens I got to see perform. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little underwhelmed by her performance, which dropped her a little bit in my. Okay, so what it felt like she did one, the Frozen
Let It Go
Let It Go that she's done before, that's the like diarrhea themed performance.
So oh, that was yeah, one yeah. Of I the remember ones, that now. Yeah.
Always
yeah,
fun. Diarrhea. Good. That.
Always your favorite topic. So she did that as one. And then the other one was this Sister Mary Kuntz narrated version of the what actually happened when Jesus was born. And it was like I liked the concept, but it was just really kind of bizarre and a little underwhelming. Like, I don't know, maybe I was too sober. I don't know what the case was, but I just didn't feel impressed. I thought that her outfits looked cheap. They looked thin. I like the material didn't look great.
Wow.
I don't know. I was so shocked that's how I felt, but I couldn't help it. I felt, and that's what I'm going with.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, yeah, to not bury the lead, Liana did get to see a few of these queens on tour, so I think she has some interesting intel as well as to how they perform live, because I was sort of taking the trio doing the reveal at their work, talking about like how she's an amazing live performer, she has all this choreography and gymnastics. I don't know if you caught her on a bad night, Liana, or if this is the Trinity that we're going to see, but Brent, I think this is a fantastic pick. If I didn't get Manila, I was going to take Trinity here. Safe to say, Trinity is one of the queens that has surprised me the most in my history of watching RuPaul's Drag Race. I understand what you're saying about her being, you know, not really underestimated, but for what it's worth, we did walk into that season being like, oh, she's a pageant queen. What is she going to do? And she completely blew us out of the water. Considering that, you know, two of the challenges she won were based on performance, doing Stanky the Starfish with the fairy tale and then doing this sort of Jennifer Coolidge 90210 host.
Mike, this is the queen that I had said during the premiere. I'm sorry, when we did our draft of that season, I can't remember if we did a draft or not, but whatever, we were talking about her and I think she was like, you know, eighth or ninth or 10th picked. And I said that I had heard through the social media grapevine that she was already sending gifts to her castmates. And I inferred that she was going to be like saying some shady shit and that she'd been eliminated early on season 9. And then, you know, look how I was right again, Mike.
Yeah, right as per usual. So, yeah. And I mean, and it's not to say that she didn't have a couple times when she struggled. She did finish in the bottom a few times. You know, she didn't exactly deliver surprisingly on the roast. And the ball challenge, despite turning so many great looks, wasn't fantastic for her. And she did lip sync for her life once, but that was when she absolutely mopped the floor with Charlie Hyde's, though there were definitely extenuating circumstances there as well. She oozes professionalism. Like, she is someone who is always going to go in and get the job done, no matter what the cost. She seems to be someone who also does not seem to freak out in the face of a challenge, unlike maybe some of these other cast members on this season. I think she is pretty damn well-rounded as well, and that is mostly about her curves and the Botox that I'm assuming she's gotten even between seasons. But I think she's totally a threat. To your point, Brent, I don't know how much these queens are going to say, I need to take out threats. You know, we haven't really seen that in the other All-Star seasons, with maybe the exception of, you know, when Ben de la Creme got rid of Morgan McMichaels because Morgan said, I'm going to come for you. Other than that, we really haven't seen that much, you know, going for the queen's heads. Usually it's sort of been under the guise of, well, you're the weakest one, or you didn't have a great performance this week. So we'll see if someone takes a shot at Trinity. I think Trinity would absolutely take a shot at other people. The pageant mentality really just inspires competition and says, look, as long as it gets me another round of the game, I'm going to do it. So I'm really hopeful that she stays in long enough to just showcase all the fantastic talents we saw her, you know, display over the course of season 9.
Yeah, it was her promo look and her entrance look, I remember, that we saw from season 9 that were both like, oh, not great. But obviously now we have a whole season seeing her perform and seeing her compete. And I don't remember, when are the promo videos shot? Before the season, right? So I just feel like that, I can't remember. I feel, I think they are. And I think that, you know, seeing that fire, if she's going to take that same approach to this season, like she's, I mean, she's in it to win it. Her head is in the game.
Yeah. All right, Liana, so you have the third and the fourth picks of the draft. And tell us who your third, your first pick is going to be. This is pick number three.
Yes. So for the third pick in the draft, I'm going to take Monet Exchange. Monet Exchange. So she is a queen that, oh my God, like she just oozes charisma. I think she was one of the top picks off the draft board when we took her in season 10.
She was the first. Brent had first pick, and he picked her first.
And I think RuPaul loves her. The biggest thing that was holding Monet back was her terrible clothing choices and just like ill-fitting clothes. And really, that is my only reservation with Monet. I think everything else she really has going for her. I mean, she won Miss Congeniality. If there's any type of queen voting, obviously she is able to win those votes. And I just think that, you know, RuPaul has to really believe in the queen. And I think that Monet, you know, let's say they are doing away with the like voting thing at the end. I think Monet is somebody who I can just see RuPaul wanting to crown and put in the Hall of Fame. And that's if she can get her clothing stuff together, which I'm, you know, there's at least several months in between, which I know isn't a whole lot of time. But look what Aja was able to do in between season 9 and All-Stars 3. So my pick is Monet.
Yeah, I have to say, I listened to a couple other of recaps or talking about the cast of All Stars 4, and I've talked about this guy before, Matty Rance on YouTube. He was talking about Monet Exchange. He loves Monet Exchange too, just like I do. But he said the same thing that I was thinking in my head, which is that Monet, we got about zero fucks to give about another goddamn kitty girl wig. Like, if I see one more kitty girl wig coming down the pike from Monet Exchange, I will have it up to here. And by the way, that also goes for me personally for another freaking sponge. Like, find a new bit. Seriously, I love you to death, but I don't want to hear no more about a goddamn sponge. And I don't want to see any more kitty girl wigs. I need to see volume. I need to see bigness. I want to see everything that represents you and a drag queen represented on the runway. I will say that she looks like a freaking goddess in this promo look. She has hips and legs for days, honey. So again, the wig is, it is shorter than I would like, but it's got some volume to it.
Yeah,
it's got some volume, so I'm there for it. I'm hoping, like, there's two ways to go with this when you get criticism like this. Because what happens is you're like, well, I don't want to give in to what people are saying because then I'm not being true to myself. No, that is not the way the game is played. You can say, I'm getting so upset about this because I'm like, I root for her so much. And I feel like that she was like, well, I don't want to give, you know, what you want me to give, because then that's not being true to myself. That is not the way you play RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul tells you to do something, you better freaking do it. She better come out here with hairography for days if she wants to have a chance to win this crown. And if she doesn't, she's going to be out lickety split. There, I said it.
So I will say that, yes, while the kitty girl, pussycat, whatever you want to sort of attribute to the wigs, they definitely have been mentioned, including in her promo. I don't know. I seem to recall a couple times when Monet did have big hair. And ironically enough, I feel like a couple of times she ended up in the bottom or when she was wearing big hair.
So at the end, yeah, she had the biggest hair she's ever had at the end. But that look was a mess, Mike. Let's be real. That was an absolute mess. That makeover girl. Stop. Yeah.
So from a performative perspective, I honestly feel like nobody can beat Monet. Let's remember that there were 4 weeks in a row in season 10 where Monet finished in the top every single time. The drag con panel, Snatch Game, the Cher Rusical, and then the Breast World. Like, she finished in the top every single time, which was great considering the bit of a rough start that she got into. But I feel like of all the queens, she has one of the biggest Achilles heel in her style, and I'm hopeful, like you said, Liana, that she's able to, you know, rustle things together in her wardrobe and, you know, come back and put out some fun stuff. The one thing that concerned me was in her, you know, Meet the Queens video, she did say that, like, in the months in between season 10 and now, she hasn't done, like, a lot of traveling. You know, she talks about maybe some of her other season 10 co-patriots are, you know, traveling the world. They're getting all these great opportunities. And she's just sort of hung around in New Jersey and done a bunch of gigs. I hope that doesn't translate into, you know, not being able to bring more diversity into your outfits in terms of, you know, fabrics or colors, etc. Because I still had a lot of fun with, like, Monet's.
Do they not have different fabrics in New Jersey?
Listen, I'm living in New Jersey. There's a lot that's different, but I don't know if the fabrics are. So I'm hopeful because I just love Monet's personality. And there's a reason why she's won Miss Congeniality. She talks about in her video how she feels the secret to winning Drag Race is authenticity. And she by far feels like one of the most authentic queens out there. That's what makes queens like her and Latrice immediately lovable, is because you feel like they're welcoming you into their personality almost immediately with just a smile and a laugh. So I'm just hoping we get as much of her on our screen as possible. And hopefully she's able to sort of overcome that initial speed bump when the judges come in and say, okay, here's the one thing we want you to work on. If she's able to overcome that, I think she's going to do really well here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just really love her. And that was sort of the logic behind me picking Peppermint, was just I see this performative quality in her, and I'm just really hoping that she can get her clothing together. Okay, so for my fourth pick in the draft, my second pick, I'm sort of going in almost the opposite direction. I'm going to pick Naomi Smalls. Yes.
Interesting.
So part of the reason why I'm picking her, I will have to say, is because of the live performance that I went to. I was captivated.
So much deep from this.
Was captivated by her. She did. So all the queens did two performances. Her first one was a lip sync to a Wendy Williams show. And she, like, threw shade at Aja. It was really, really good. And then that morphed into this, like, Nicki Minaj performance. Just, like, the whole thing crafted together was so entertaining. It was both humorous and it was still, like, the sexy Naomi Smalls that we've seen, legs for days. She got up on the railing and stood on, like, the top railing in the friggin' auditorium or whatever. Oh, my God, it was so good. And then her second performance I can't even remember what it was because I couldn't stop staring at her. She was wearing this mask with these, like, whites over her eyes. Mm. And there were these wind machines blowing her hair back. I don't even know. I'm not describing this in a great way. I'm just saying she was super captivating. And that's one of the reasons why I'm choosing her. That on top of she was in the spoiler alert, top three of season 8. And I know that season 8 gets a lot of crap for not being a strong season, but she still was able to make it super fun. And shut up. She was still able to make it super far in that season, and I think she'll do really well in All Stars 4.
That was a great Little Richard impression, Liana. Shut up.
I don't know what to say. This screws up. Well, you've done a good job, Liana, because it screws up my entire draft order. Now I have no idea what to pick for the fifth pick, because I was assuming you're going to pick someone for the fourth pick, and I was like, okay, I know who I'm going to pick for the fifth pick. So now I have a decision to make. But having said that about Naomi Smalls, I mean, like, I'm just being real with you guys. I have her in the four cannon fodder slots, not the six people that I thought could win slots. Like, I'm just be okay. Look, here's the cast. All right, I'm gonna tell you the six people that I thought could win, because I'm not gonna get another pick after my next pick until like eight. So I can tell you. So I thought these are the people that I thought could win: Valentina and Trinity. Okay, they're from the same season. The two Mo's from season 10, Monique Hart and Monet Exchange. I thought they could win. And Latrice Royale and Manila Luzon. Mm-hmm. Pheromone, Gia Gunn, Jasmine Masters, and Naomi Smalls, I don't think in my heart of hearts can take the crown. Having said that, I do, like, put some stock in the fact that, number one, she got to the end of season 8. That's something to be said. Liana, you saw her live. Love her. She obviously gets a lot of love from WoW Presents. She's on there a lot. She's guest hosting. She's learned a lot in the last 3 years in terms of how to present herself on TV, that TV drag is different than, you know, drag in a bar, and how do you convey your personality and your draggishness in terms of a mass viewing audience. So I'm excited to see that about her, but she has an uphill What's that? She's battle? Got an uphill to climb. An uphill hill to climb. It's an uphill mountain to climb in order for her to take to actually take the crown, not just get to the end, but to take the crown. I think it's going to be a stretch for her, but if she's able to do it, I'm sure that she's going to pull out some amazing shit that I am so behind her for, like Tatiana style, where I'm like, oh my god, you're amazing, and I'm so like glad you proved me wrong. I'm here for it. So I'm hopeful, but I'm doubtful.
Come on, topography. I'm probably higher. I'm closer to the Liana side of things when it comes to opinions on Naomi than Brent is. I'm a big fan overall of the final four of season 8. And I feel like what she says about, she's another person like Trinity who says she feels underestimated. I feel this one is valid because I do feel like a lot of people were considering season 8 and the endgame in particular as like Bob the drag queen versus Kim Chi. And oh, look who's there waving to the side. Oh, it's Naomi Smalls with those big old gams. But I do feel like if you look back at her record, I mean, yes, she put in a pretty damn bad snatch game as Tiffany New York Pollard. But outside of that, she won that makeover challenge, the Wizard of Oz one. She finished in the top 3 other times, but they were for, one was for the ball, so it makes sense. Again, she's a big look queen. But she also finished in the top during a singing challenge and during that campaign challenge that they did in 2016. So it feels like she actually has a surprising amount of well-roundedness to her in terms of performing. Like, I think she talked about how she sort of came to a revelation halfway through the competition about how she needs to be silly. And so I'm hopeful she can bring more of that into All Stars, because I think that what the Drag Race, you know, judges and producers at large want to see is sort of three-dimensional aspects, you know, versatility, as it were. And I feel like one of the reasons why Naomi was able to go as far as she did is because she was able to show that. She's also gone through some interesting personal transformations. She says in one of her videos that she nearly quit drag after season 8 because she didn't feel like she was creatively fulfilled. So hopefully she's going to be able to find that outlet here. I don't know. I'm definitely very high on Naomi. If anything, she's going to be another one who just puts out these really fantastic, fascinating looks, and she is going to probably be the biggest one to sell them on that runway, because she has the model walk down since she left the womb with her, you know, 6 foot long legs.
If I could like merge Monet and Naomi, I would have the perfect.
Yeah, exactly. May know me. Make it a thing.
All right. So I have the 5th pick, and as I said, Liana's totally screwed me up. So now I have to decide. Basically, there's somebody that I think I should pick, there's somebody that I really want to pick, and there's somebody that I really shouldn't pick, but I kind of want to just for the shenanigans of it all. You know, as I said, this person was robbed on All Stars 1, and so I feel like I have to pick her. I'm going to go with Latrice Royale. I do think there's a universe where RuPaul looks at Latrice and says, you know what, bitch, you belong in the Hall of Fame. You have given so much to drag and to Drag Race and to Ru in particular. I think there's no queen on earth that's going to eliminate her if they have the chance. Like, there's like, you're not going to, like, if you have put Latrice Royale and Trinity the Tuck Taylor up against each other, people are going to eliminate Trinity because they're like, I don't want to touch Latrice. She's everybody's favorite. She's my godmother. She's family. I think there's no way that anybody's going to take a shot at her. So I think she's going to get to the end. And if she gets to the end, then I think that she's really going to have a chance to get crowned, because Rue's going to look at her and say, you know what? You deserve it. Because as I said, she was robbed on season 1 anyway, or of All Stars. So here's the thing. I do worry. Liana, is this somebody that you saw live? I'm curious.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I have seen her perform since I last saw her on my television during All Stars 1, and she is fun. She's done some great videos for YouTube, which I just laugh my ass off. In fact, a couple of them I've laughed a couple of different times. Like, I rewatch them just because I want to hear Latrice go, oh! Like, just eat it. It's great. But I like the stamina of going over these challenge after challenge after challenge. I worry that she might drop the ball, because not all of these are going to be in her wheelhouse. And from her original season, and I'm not even going to talk about All Stars because that wasn't really a thing, but her original season, she got criticized because she didn't have a lot of money. She kept showing the same boots over and over. Mm-hmm. Michelle famously called that out. That's not going to be an issue this time. So she's got money out the wazoo to show whatever drag she wants to. And I do love this promo look. It's probably the most interesting promo look of the bunch. It's like a bridal gown with showing legs for days. It's cinched at the waist. She's got a great figure, but it's pure Southern drag. Like, it's exactly what I want when you, like, look at her and go, goddamn bitch, and give me some good old freaking drag. That looks great with the blonde hair and the pink lips and the sparkly, like, you know, Kentucky Derby hat. Like, everything about it is just giving me drag with a capital D. I want her to do the best. I think my heart is with her, and it's just basically, will she give us permission in order to crown her? Because I think we all want her to win. I mean, maybe I don't know if you all agree with me on that, but I feel like that in our heart of hearts, we all love Latrice and we want her to win. We want her to do the best that she possibly can. Will she give us the permission? And by that, I mean, will she accomplish the challenges and the tasks in such a way that says, you know what, she deserves to win? Because in order to be crowned, you have to deserve it. In order to deserve it, you have to do the challenges. So we'll see, but I'm hopeful for her, and I do feel like she is one of the people on the board who actually could be crowned by RuPaul.
I love, love, love Latrice so much. I was somehow hoping that she would fall to me, even though I knew in my heart of hearts that was not going to be the case. I really enjoyed her performance when I saw her live. She did two performances. One was an Aretha Franklin medley.
Ooh.
Which was just so emotional and it was so good, but I could definitely tell it started to get a little repetitive as the time went on. And I think that sort of goes, Brent, to your point about, keeping up almost maybe is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Her second performance was really amazing. Also, she did flag twirling.
Yes.
What?
Yes. I saw that one. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was because I think this is what she does for her when they do the All-Star Extravaganza talent show for the first episode, which I believe is still happening, like they did for seasons 2 and 3, All-Stars 2 and 3. And spoiler alert, one of the flags had a reveal. Turned into another flag.
During your performance, or are you talking about the preview for All Stars 4?
No. When I saw her perform.
When you saw it. Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah. It was so cool. It was like, it was a blue flag, and then all of a sudden it turned into a white flag. I was like, oh my God.
Flags.
So like there was this sort of excitement and shock factor that was just so much fun. But I think I sort of have the same concerns of, you know, some of her outfits on season four weren't the best. And, you know, is this something that she's going to be able to keep up at the All Stars 4 caliber? But she has personality for days. I love her to death. And I'm just, I really want her to win. If there's somebody who I want to win, it is Latrice Royale.
And not for nothing, but she is by far the oldest contestant on the board at 46 years old. Only Jasmine Masters is next in her 40s. She's 40 years old, actually. Everybody else is, you know, 30s and younger, all the way down to Pharoah Moen, who's like, you know, the British queen said that I have older underwear older than her. Yeah, exactly.
I was so happy to find that Latrice was on. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I mean, I've because of the way I got into the show, Latrice Royale is the reason why I got into Drag Race as much as I did. Because season 4 was the very first one I watched back when it was on Hulu. And I was thinking, I was like, in what world is this big black guy with this basso profundo voice who was an ex-con becomes one of like the sweetest, sultriest mother hens that I have ever seen in drag? And that's sort of like when I fell in love with the show. So maybe it's just like my pure nostalgic connection, but Latrice is just, I mean, she's incredible. And you can feel that with, you know, I don't think anyone has ever had a negative word to say about Latrice. No. She is
really not. Yeah. That's the amazing part, Mike. I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's the amazing part, that after all these years and after all of the love that she gets, that she's still that same mother hen, that she still gives, like, helps the younger queens and is there, but remember when she got so mad during season 4 because she's like, you know, this is a shit show when she went during the
Room fuckery.
She was not here for this. She is a professional and she wants to treat it that way. And I think that Rue really responds well to that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think that she just has this warmth and sense of humor. And I, one of the things that I love about it is it's not just this idea of an advising perspective like you spoke of, Brent, but I think she really tries to make it a two-way relationship. She talks in her video about how she actually loves to learn and be inspired by the younger queens. You know, she isn't exactly one of these older school queens who's like, ah, these damn kids are doing things completely differently. My school is better. She's actively trying to stay engaged in the community at large. And I mean, she's a fantastic performer. I mean, we have spoken so many volumes over the course of our coverage about her natural woman lip sync against Kenya Michaels, which was such a great disparity where Kenya Michaels was turning it into a dance pageant while Latrice was just standing there essentially delivering a monologue to her unborn child. And she gravitates, you know, you're naturally drawn to her, even if she's just standing in one spot. Now, the question is, will that energy, how will that butt up against some of these other fantastic lip syncers in their own right, who maybe can bring more of a frantic, frenetic energy? Let's also remember that Latrice's big Achilles heel in season 4 was that she went out on a country song to Chad Michaels, which is really sad, but it's clear that some don't necessarily fit her style entirely. Another interesting thing is, you know, I feel like All Stars 4, it's also really about managing your brand and really showing the judges, like, this is who I am. I think the Campbell soup during the Warhol challenge last season is a great indicator of that, right? Where queens were getting clocked for, like, not representing who they are. Latrice, as I found out, was actually one of the first drag queens to have her own management company. So if you're looking for someone who knows what Latrice Royale is as a person and as a brand, it's going to be her. And you can imagine that's going to pay dividends for most of the challenges.
I didn't realize that. That's not, I mean, she definitely is forward thinking. I think also for Latrice, to go back, Mike, to what you were talking about, the natural woman. So as part of her Aretha Franklin bit that she did on the show that I saw, she did natural woman and I nearly cried. And then I started laughing, thinking about a little Kenya Michaels dancing behind her because that's what she needed on the stage. She's amazing. I think also she gave me one of my favorite lines of all time. I think it was from the campaign challenge in season 4 when the question was, you know, there's a lot of ugliness in politics. How do you make peace with that? Yeah. And she says something about, well, I looked over at Fifi O'Hara and saw how ugly she was.
And I'm at peace with that. It was so good. Even Sourpuss Dan Savage, who was taking things way too seriously, liked that line. I mean, she has so many good lines with the, you know, large and in charge, chunky and funky. Of course, we got to talk about 5G's Good God, Get a Grip, Girl. Like, there's a reason why she became so popularized right off the bat. It's because she's so freaking good at these phrases.
So my God, I had forgotten about that. Oh my God. The thing was that I during that election challenge, the only thing I remember about that election challenge is when Fifi said something about the help.
The help. Yeah.
That's all I remember. So I forgot Latrice saying that about Fifi. Oh my God, that brings back such good memories. I got to watch that again.
Oh, but and how can you forget Chad Michaels with like the big updo doing a complete caricature of going like, and green, yellow, red, we're done.
That was great. Chad Michaels should have won that challenge. Oh my God.
The like pimp master.
Dan Savage was a stick in the mud. He was an uppity fag, man. Oh my God. It's just driving me crazy.
And it's an interesting Latrice Royale as well. She says that she has a set of new teeth and she has a husband as well. So we'll see if, you know, maybe that some of those old qualities of her charm combined with those new school qualities of her life will produce a winning game.
All right. I'm here. Like, I if she wins, I'm so here for it.
Same.
I'm so here for it.
All right. So I have...
Mike, you have the 6th pick. Yes.
Yeah, I have number 6 here. And I'm gonna cheat a bit off of Brent's sheet here. And I cannot mask how my excitement / trepidation over this next pick. But I mean, considering she was a big front runner in season 9 until a certain episode, I gotta go with Valentina here. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. We all know her for two things at this point. We know her for the Club Kid incident and not knowing the words to the Ariana Grande song. And we also know her for all the fallout that happened after season 9, you know, the emergence of # Valentina. But the fact of the matter is, up to that point in the competition, she was crushing it, especially for someone who had only been doing drag for such a short amount of time. You know, she won the 2nd challenge right off the bat. She immediately impressed in the Gaga challenge. She was doing well in the fairy tale stuff and the acting. She only wound up in the bottom one time in her entire like 9 or 10 episodes of the season. who's to say, maybe if she knows that song and beats Dina Bonina Brown, Jones, David, Christopher, she might end up winning the season. Who's to say? I think that, you know, what's coupled with her overall sense of talent is, surprisingly, she is really steering into the curve of this villain thing. She already has declared herself the diva of the season. She says, you know, I am a truth teller. I put my foot down if I think something's wrong and I want to talk about it. And I feel like one of the things that sometimes ruins Queen's games and All-Star seasons are pussyfooting around, for lack of a better term, to say, I'm really worried about how this is going to come across at home. You know, this is the reason why Relaska Talks failed to get rid of one another, even though, to your point, Brent, you know, Detox and Alaska could have easily gotten rid of each other since they were, you know, each other's biggest competition outside of Katya. I feel like Valentina is going to cut throats. She gives no Fs at this point. That could work, you know, from a reverse perspective. Maybe that she's caused so much controversy in the community that people are willing to get rid of her immediately. But I'm excited to see her talent combined with her ability to, you know, truly play the game from a cutthroat perspective. Makes me excited to see what she might do on this season.
This is somebody who I was, this is the person that I was thinking, you know what, I maybe want to pick her just for the shenanigans of it all, because do I really think that Valentina can win? I mean, I have her in my people that I think can win, but that's in a perfect universe where everybody, like, nobody holds anything against her and Valentina doesn't try to play any games. You're right, she has really swerved into this Valentina-esque thing, and I think there's a good reason for it. She's one of these queens. She doesn't give a F about RuPaul's Drag Race. I know, and I don't mean that in a negative way or a disrespectful way. It's just, she doesn't need RuPaul's Drag Race in order for her to have a fabulous career. She has her fans. Her fans love her. If you love Valentina, you don't care if she finishes 10th or 1st on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. You're still going to be a fan after. It's a very, like, it's, I don't want to say it's niche, but she knows what her fans want from her. And I think they want her to stomp up and down the runway, slay people, break hearts, and own her shit. And so I agree with you that I think that she's probably the most dangerous person in the cast, even above Trinity Taylor. I think she is the person most likely to send somebody home, like Latrice Royale or Trinity Taylor or Manila Luzon. I think these people are all in danger if somebody like Valentina wins. Now, look, she could surprise me and completely go the other way, but I think that she's going to make a shock elimination at some point. And I don't know any spoilers, so I'm just guessing from the way she's acted for the last 2 years that she doesn't give any F. She's going to make a shock elimination if she gets a chance to win. And you might say, well, they're going to eliminate her. Well, they got to get the chance, bitch. Like, in order for them to eliminate her, first of all, it's lip sync for your legacy. So that means she's got to end up in the bottom, which she did not do during her original season 9 until the very end. And then number two, there's a twist involved, and we don't know what the twist is. So I think it's going to be hard to get her out. And she's really good at these Drag Race challenges, and the judges just love her. She knows her body. She knows what works. She knows how to paint her face for the gods. She looks great in this promo. It's a little, the outfit's a little bit underwhelming, but I think she has the body to pull it off. And she has hair for days, and I live for it. So I think she's a contender. But it's going to take a special universe for her to take the crown.
I actually really like the comment about she's good at RuPaul Drag Race challenges.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that she can excel at. I mean, she clearly did in pretty much every single one of her challenges from her original season. And I mean, I think that if you can just meet the baseline of the criteria of the challenge, like, that's, you know, you're already going above and beyond, apart from the fact that she looks gorgeous and pretty much everything she puts on.
Yes.
That's helpful. I mean, you know what? It's been said. She's perfect. She's beautiful. She looks like Linda Evangelista. She's a model. She could walk out there in a diaper and they'd be like, whatever. I don't remember the rest of the rant. But like, she is somebody who has a star quality. And I really do think that she will have a stamp on the season. Now, whether or not she can actually pull out the win in the end, if she really embraces this villainous thing, you know, is that something that's going to be rewarded? I don't know. But she will definitely make her mark on this season.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think in order for her to make her mark in this season, she has to embrace the villain thing. Like, if she just comes on and she's like, I'm trying to think of somebody who was on a previous season who, you know, was trying to be all nice about things.
Well, you could say Fifi for the first like three episodes of All Stars 2.
Yeah, first, like somebody who really goes out of their way to try to be like, you know, we're all here, we're all sisters. Like, let's just like let's literally just eliminate the person who does the worst and not play any games. See, I don't think Valentina would like that, and I don't think that she would think her fans would like that. I don't think she's even there for that, because remember, she was asked to be on All Stars 3. She passed it up, and that's how we got Aja. So I think the fact that she doesn't need All Stars, she doesn't need RuPaul's Drag Race, I think that's great for her chances overall, because that doesn't mean she gives any F's, and I'm really here for it. I'm excited about it.
On that note about All Stars 3, actually, from what I was looking up, quite a number of these queens on this season, I believe that Trinity also got asked for All Stars 3 and declined because it was too far after the season, and apparently Latrice also got asked for All Stars 3, which I'm happy that, you know, things fell when they did, because now we have this really fantastic mix yes. of queens, whereas I'd rather not see them, you know, divided amongst All Stars 3 and 4. Now we have them all together.
Mm-hmm. Plus, isn't Valentina's going to be Angel, right?
Yeah.
In Rent?
Rent
so,
left.
Like, she's, like, off succeeding on her own, you know? So I think that just feeds into what you both are
saying.
Yeah,
in the Fox Rent live version, Valentina's going to be Angel. And I want to say Peppermint's also on Broadway. I can't remember.
She's in Head Over Heels, which is the Go-Go's jukebox musical that actually is closing in a couple months. But I've heard rave reviews for her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good job, girls.
And also, from a World of Wonder perspective, I will say she also is a voice on the show Drag Tots as well. And I think Latrice is doing a voice as well. So, like, I don't know if we want to, you know, go too far in terms of the macro perspective of, like, if they're involved in other World of Wonder products, how much does that sort of impact their standing within, you know, the show at large? But it's worth saying that, you know, she's pretty well entrenched in World of Wonder, even outside of Drag Race.
Okay, so it's my pick with the 7th pick overall.
Yep.
This should come as no surprise to either of you. I will be picking the heart of this season, Monique Hart.
Cat.
Sensation.
Yes.
Herself, Monique Hart. So I think, Brent, I completely agreed that Monique Hart is the remaining queen on this list that has a chance to win. I loved her promo look. If you haven't seen it, she has essentially this big face on her where she has these big eyes with eyelashes and this mouth that can open and close. It's this cool character thing on top of just a really gorgeous, you know, sticking with the silver iridescent theme. It's so much fun. And then she is obviously an amazing personality on top of it. I think my biggest concern with her is the fact that she for some reason wasn't able to really connect with the judges on her original season, and I don't know why. I don't know, maybe now that the season has passed that will change, but I think somehow what we saw and what they saw in her were two different things, but I'm hoping that will be rectified on this season, because she's just so freaking charismatic.
Well, this is the queen that I really wanted to pick. That, you know, like in a truly Brent way of picking things, I would have picked Monique, but I decided to be a little bit smarter about it and go with Latrice. But I really wanted to pick Monique Hart. I love this bitch. Everything about it. If there's a universe where Monique wins RuPaul's Drag Race, I want to live in that freaking universe. She's great. Mm-hmm. She's fun. She makes me smile every moment she's on screen. Let's be real. I agree with you, Liana, that the judges did not connect with her for some reason. Not only did she not win the first challenge, she wasn't even in the top for the first challenge.
Made no sense.
And let it be said, she won that challenge, okay? I don't know what the fuck the judges were looking at, but she won that challenge.
It's about Ankh Ankh, Brent. They were into the Ankh Ankh.
They were so freaking blind. It was like the freaking figure skating judges. Like, they couldn't even see it if it hit them in the freaking face. But she was amazing. And I do think that, like, since the season has aired, and remember, her and Monique are in the unique role that, like, you know, Ginger and Katya were in, where they're coming off their season. They go straight into All Stars. And I want to say there was somebody on All Stars 3
Aja did.
But Aja.
But the interesting thing
Aja.
Is that, you know, it's a good comparison between her and Monet and Katya and Ginger, because they are a very close pair that are coming into this. You know, we're missing Aja from that holy trinity, but the fact is they're a close pair. I don't know how much strategy is going to get involved with this voting, but you'd have to imagine that they would look out for each other when it comes to voting, right?
Yeah, I would hope so, because I love them both, and they really should. The other thing, too, is that Monique, since the airing of her season, she's got a lot of gigs, she's got some money. It does seem like she knows how to dress herself a little bit better. I did always, like let's be, this is the queen, honey, that was, like, up till, you know, 2 a.m. in the morning, gluing brown cow realness to herself. And then when she had to lip sync, she literally ripped the dress off herself in order to lip sync and then didn't know the words and did a bad cartwheel. Like, she had problems during her first run of Drag Race, but the one thing she didn't have was a lack of personality, and she did not have any issues with any of the other queens. She was a great friend to anybody. She was helpful, and I think that'll serve her well on an all-star season. My question is, can she pull off the runway requirements in order to move herself forward and not ultimately end up in the bottom or look cheap? That does worry me a little bit, but I root for her, and I do feel... here's the thing. I would have rather her been on All Stars 5 in order to give herself a little bit more time in the oven, a little bit more money, a little bit more of a chance to understand television and the way Drag Race and the Drag Race social media world works. But she's here, and this is her chance. So, I do think there's a small outside chance that she could win if she slays, burns the house down, and then gets herself to the end and has a story to tell. I think she's got the personality to sell it.
I think, you know, we're looking at a good amount of queens who finished in the double digits, you know, like 10th place and below. And I feel like of all of them, like 8th place and below, I feel like Monique is probably the one who stands the biggest chance of making it far, of really like pulling that turnaround. Because to your point, she really has the personality. And if we're going back to this idea of authenticity, she has this again, this ebullience to her. I think they talk about it on the reveal about how like they love her authentic reactions to everything. There's that one shot of the unfortunate incident of Asia's butterflies during the season 10 finale. And it cuts to Monique just aghast in the audience, essentially feeling what we're all feeling. And that's what we love about Monique. It's a good point about her wardrobe. You know, I'm hopeful that she brought more budget and brought more outfits, but we sort of saw this with Chi-Chi, where she came in season 3 saying, all right, I got these, you know, I've upgraded my outfits. And unfortunately, I think just due to the funds from her competition, they still sort of paled in comparison. Now, Monique is an extremely crafty queen, and hopefully, you know, she brings that. We saw that with that freaking card dress. But I keep going back to this point that Liana really did a great job of mentioning as to, like, for some reason, she's not connecting with the judges, and that's sort of, unfortunately, the name of the game of RuPaul's Drag Race. Not even the card dress. Let's remember when she slayed the house down during the DragCon challenge and didn't even end up in the top there either. She's a fantastic MC. Here's hoping that she at least gets some recognition in a positive way, much like someone like Aja, who, again, didn't really get a lot of recognition from a positive perspective, came in and killed it in that first challenge of All Stars 3. I'm hopeful because I love her as a personality. I just want to see more faces. There's the face here on the promo shoot. Let's remember the Cookie Monster face. There's the face of her covering her own eyes with her hands that really confused us at the time. Like, she has an aesthetic. I want to see both her face and the face on her face multiple times this season.
Ugh, so good. She's just, she's just somebody who just has the personality. And if you, if we can just somehow get around some of the looks that weren't quite right. But I guess the biggest reservation, again, I will just say, is the judges, because I'm even looking at some of her looks from season 10, and some of them are really good. Some of them are duds, but, you know, even on the ones that she did well in, you know, for some reason she wasn't praised. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is that the one thing that gives me heart, no pun intended, is that the judges know that we love her now.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they knew that the first time around. I think maybe they were completely oblivious to that. I think maybe Rue was oblivious to that. But the public, the fans who are the lifeblood of RuPaul's Drag Race, we live for Monique Hart. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love her. So I think that there will be... I think they're going to give her a second look. I don't think they're going to be as quick to just discard her, like her unique brand of drag. You know, I'm sorry, not everybody needs to have a freaking $10,000 ball gown in order to do a challenge. It's okay sometime if you go out there with $200 cardboard and a little bit of glitter and it looks fucking fantastic. That's drag. All right. I think, like, I do think that they're going to give her a second look, but I, And the other thing is that the contestants know we're rooting for her now. So I feel like that there's, you know, you don't want to be the one contestant that eliminates Monique Hart if you can avoid it. You don't want that kind of a backlash from the fans. So I feel good about her chances. I don't feel great, but I feel good about her chances. All right. So I have the eighth pick in the draft, and we are down to the three people who I most thought were in danger of not even having a chance to win the crown. And so I'm left with a conundrum of who of these three queens, no, for real, who of these three queens could pull a Tatiana-esque run and surprise me? And I think there's one queen of the three. We're talking about, you know, Pheromone, Gia Gunn, and Jasmine Masters, of course. I think there's one queen that has a chance, and I sincerely mean this. I think there's a queen that has a chance to make it to the end. I don't know if she has a chance to win, but I think she can make it to the end. And that's Gia Gunn.
And I think absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you, Mike. I think that Gia Gunn has a story, and I think that she has grown tremendously since season six. And I think that she maybe was a little bit of a fish out of water during season six. And I think she maybe was a big fish in a small pond. And I'm not saying fish to be funny, but
do you mean tilapia, Brent?
I know it's right, tilapia. Yeah, as Bianca Del Rio would say, the cheapest fish in the market, for God's sake. I think that she was a little bit of a fish out of water. I think she was a big fish in a small pond back in her home, and then came onto Drag Race and was like, wow, everyone's really talented. And then was, you know, summarily booted in 10th place. But I think that since she was on the show, RuPaul said some unfortunate things about trans contestants, some stuff that she really wants to take back. Gia Gunn said some things about RuPaul that I don't think she wants to take back, but she let it stand. And then in response to what RuPaul had said, and then the show asked her to be a part of All Stars 4 as, I don't know, a make good or a, like, we want to try to educate ourselves, or we want to try to educate the audience on what being trans means for the LGBT community and RuPaul's Drag Race at large. So here's the thing. I think that she has a story that resonates, and I think that it will, if the show handles it appropriately and they don't actually just, there's two ways the show can go about this. And I'm sorry to be all over the place, but I have a few different thoughts on this. The show can either not even address it, or they can address it head on. I think they'll address it head on, but I could be proven wrong. I think that Rue and Michelle and anybody else who's there will, you know, make a note of what Rue said. I think Rue herself will say, you know what, I said this, and I'm so glad to be proven wrong and to learn once again, because I think Rue recognizes how much what she said about trans contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race, how that damages her own brand. And I think she wants to make that right. So we'll see. Having said that, I think that Gia Gunn's going to need to prove herself. She's going to need to slay some of these challenges. But I've seen her since Drag Race ended for her. And she was on a show called The Switch, I think like the second season. She was really good, and she made it to, like, I think top five or top four on that. And the subtitles were shit, but it was like a Portuguese or Brazilian, I can't remember what it was. But it was really, really funny. And she worked her ass off on that show. And I think since then she's got money. And I don't mean money, but she's got enough money to do passable drag that makes it look good. She looks great in this promo shot. And my point is that if she gets to the end, I think she's got a story to tell. Whether or not she's capable of articulating that story, I think, is another matter, but it's certainly there for her to use as a tool if she wants it.
So to switch over a bit and talk a bit about The Switch, because I do feel like, you know, we do have, what, 4 or 5 episodes of Drag Race to base off of Gia's original appearance, but her most recent appearance on reality television, specifically a drag-based reality television show, is the show The Switch Drag Race, which is a Chilean show, which
thank you
is sort of based off of the Drag Race formula. Apparently, from what I've been gleaning, it's a lot more about performance in terms of, like, I guess they do a lot of celebrity impressions and a lot of live performance. So maybe it's less about, like, crafting and all that stuff, but Gia Gunn cleaned house. She did not win. She came in second place, but apparently, and this was a very, very long season, this was like 30 episodes or so, but she won apparently 10 challenges. So I think it shows that, like, again, this might be a specific niche, you know, set of skills, but the fact of the matter is Gia was able to absolutely clean up a la Monet Exchange in her entrance look with these challenges in this foreign show. I don't know if it's going to translate back to the mainland, but her most recent drag outing, to your point, Brent, has proved that maybe she has improved a good amount as a drag queen from when we saw her on season 6.
Yeah, Liana, I really do think this is the queen that could surprise the hell out of us. And the queen that like comes in and starts doing drag, comes on the first or second challenge, and we're like, oh my God, like, I had no idea you were even capable of doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think even looking at some of her looks from season 6, for the few episodes she was on, I mean, they were good. I think she is somebody who is just sort of a natural performer, but in her weird Gia Gunn way. I mean, I think I remember her being sort of the narrator almost of season 6 in the confessionals. She's just an entertaining person. And I think that that translates to the stage as well. And if she has been able to work on her craft, I mean, I think she is definitely the one that could surprise us. I mean, she's just absolutely gorgeous. So many catchphrases. She's just an entertaining human. And I think that she has an opportunity to surprise us.
Yeah, I'm excited about her coming back, Mike. I have to tell you, like, I'm just so psyched to get to know Gia Gunn again. And I'm really hoping she doesn't drop the ball.
Yeah, because even outside of, you know, her skills that she brings to Drag Race, Gia Gunn is a straight up bitch. And
yes.
And that makes me, I mean, again, if we're talking about Team Good TV, this makes me really excited. Mm-hmm. Like, she was the one who, like, came in on season 6 saying, like, I hate messy queens. I hate cheap queens. I hate manly queens. She calls out April Carry On, like, she looks butch. I guess that's okay, but like, it's not the way that I look. She was one of the first people to really catch on to a Milk's elitist attitude. Like, she, like, and she was putting herself off from others. I don't know if that attitude has necessarily changed in the years since, like you said, Brent, it seemed to be a real eye-opening experience for her the first time out. And you have to imagine that also her sort of coming into her own with her own identity might have helped that. But it seems like from the intro videos, she is totally, much like Valentina, willing to embrace that persona. So if we're looking at another person who is willing to just, again, give no F's, have no qualms to just eliminate a fan favorite, I feel like Gia is another contender there.
Yeah, she did say she's here to have a good time. So I'm expecting more of her shade. Oh, you girls look good. stuff like that. I'm here for it. For, you know, I want to be surprised, but if she doesn't last long, I think the episodes that she is on the show, I think they're going to be really entertaining.
Yeah, she's right. She's one of these people, Brent, who says like, oh, I'm not doing it for drama. I'm telling the truth. And you know, when people like couch it like that, you know that they're here for that messy shit.
Yes, yes. And I'm here for it as well. All right, Mike, so you're left with the 9th and the 10th picks in the draft. You got dumped. They were dumped on you. But let's talk a little bit about Pheromone and Jasmine Masters. Who you want to talk about first?
Let's go alphabetical here. Let's start with Farrah. I mean, I guess I'm sort of happy that by coincidence, Farrah ended up in my lap because I still harbor this like ungodly crush towards her. She is so damn beautiful in drag.
She really is.
Pheromone, for those of you that might not remember, I would say, admittedly, maybe one of the more WTF picks of this. Again, if you're talking about like who's a quote unquote all-star, Pheromone in season 9 came in 8th place. You know, she made it halfway through the season, but not one of the standouts. She didn't win a challenge. She didn't even finish in the top in a challenge. She finished in the bottom a couple times and did 2 lip sync for your lives. But she was able to make it through from her looks. The ones that really stick out to me, her Gaga looks and her Madonna looks. You know, she comes from Vegas, this world of recreating celebrity culture. And when it comes to that, she absolutely knocks it out of the park. I remember talking about Farrah, even when she didn't, you know, do particularly well, always had some really great runway looks that almost always saved her from ending up in the bottom. This could happen here. I honestly don't know. I mean, who do you think would take out Pheromone? You know, if we're talking about like hunting big game, do we think we might get like a Roxy Andrews situation where some might say, oh yeah, Farrah, well, she's the cute little puppy dog. We'll keep her in. I don't know if she stands a chance. So again, to what you were talking about with Gia and Monique, I could also see Farrah as someone who they say like, who ends up, you know, slipping through and ends up in the, not maybe in the end, but maybe like top 5, top 6. And you sort of blink and say, wait a minute, how did Pheromone end up in there? Much like she did sort of in the final 8 in season 9.
Yeah, I think with Pheromone, I can definitely see that happening. I think though, she, I don't know. I can see queens not really blinking an eye to get rid of her.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And I think that with Pheromone, you know, you look for a queen that, like, okay, let's say they necessarily didn't do so well on their original season. You know, what is it that they lacked in during that season, and have they made up for it? And with Pheromone, I just don't see that. Her looks on point. They continue to be on point. But Pheromone just, she doesn't really have that sort of performative personality. So I actually got to see her perform also as part of this live show, and her two acts were essentially Pheromone being sexy. And Pheromone is really fucking sexy. Oh my God. Mike, I was like, I also have a crush on Pheromone. Like, you can't, I mean, she's just absolutely gorgeous. Drop dead gorgeous. And so she's got that down real well. Everything else, though, that's where I think she struggles.
Yeah. I mean, this is the queen where I'm like, you know, can you give me something? Can you go beyond what you were and surprise me? Mm-hmm. And I worry that she's not going to be able to. I know that she said that she wasn't as prepared as she could have been for her original season, season 9, because she didn't expect to get accepted during her first time auditioning. It was the first time her auditioning for the show and she actually got accepted. The thing is that all she gave us the first time around was Vegas. That's all she gave us, was Vegas, Vegas, Vegas. And I want to see more than that. I want to see her being a drag queen with the capital D. I want to see her do something more than what we're expecting of her, which is this cutesy, bouncy, sort of in-the-box mold of what people think of when they think of Pheromone. Come out and be a bitch. Come out and be, you know, challenge yourself. Do some gender-bending thing. Anything that makes me take a second look at you and go, wow, like, I had no idea you were able to come at it from that point of view, but you wowed the heck out of me. I don't care about sexy every single time on the runway from her. I'm really hoping that she gives me something else, but I'm not particularly positive about it. Mike, you're I can't even talk. You're looking at it from a standpoint of a regular reality show contestant, not a Drag Race contestant, because on a regular reality show, I'd be like, you know what, keep Pheromone in. Like, you know, why are we going to get rid of her? She's no threat. She's like Sandra Diaz Twine, man. Like, why are we going to get rid of her? You know, let's take her to the end of the game. But these queens do not play like that. They play, you know, at least up until now, they've basically played according to the rules. And they've played according to who did the worst in the challenge. And if that's the way they're going to play, I don't think that any one of them would blink an eye as far as eliminating Farrah. So she's gonna need to be not in the bottom two or three in order to survive, I think.
So I don't want to, you know, do too much introspection as like why each person was cast. But I feel like Farrah's inclusion is super interesting for a number of reasons. First, how much do we feel it was based on her interaction with Valentina at the reunion? And it was shown a couple times with, you know, this really beautifully shot scene where Valentina is saying like, oh yeah, you know, Farrah, I respect you and I love you. And you see Farrah in the background just say, you don't love me. And it elicited this big gasp. Do you think the producers were sort of cast Farrah because they're looking for more moments like that? And they think that she can sort of bring that out outside of the bubbly persona that we usually see from her?
I mean, I think it's definitely an added bonus. I think if they're looking at, you know, somebody, Pheromone and, you know, Queen Bee, I think they probably just said, well, you know, at least we get this with Pheromone because we know Valentina's going to be on the show. And we have that's some ready-made drama from act one, scene one that we can talk about. And the other thing is that you do need a little bit of cannon fodder. You need people who, you know what, they're eliminated early on and you don't get too butthurt about it. Like, I don't want to see Latrice Royale go home on the first episode. I don't want to see Manila go home on the first episode. You need people who were kind of okay with, like, okay, yeah, that was fun, but I understand why they were eliminated. I mean, it's just the natural progression of reality TV. Her main task is to give herself as much longevity as possible in order to there to be a shakeup or for her to excel at a challenge and change the status quo. But I don't hold my breath.
Yeah. And I think also in terms of, and this is going to sound weird, diversity, but Pheromone is, she is different, I think, than the other queens. And the fact that she really does is known for these like just stunningly sexy, gorgeous looks. Like, that is her sort of niche, I think, in terms of this season. And so that's what she's going to bring. I don't think it's enough to carry her to the end, but like, that's the little corner she'll occupy while she's here.
Well, another thing that I'm really excited for is, you know, I think Trixie said that Farrah has this idea of sort of treating everything like it's the end of the world if something goes wrong. And look, yeah, if we're looking for like meltdown potential, I feel like you have people like Latrice and Manila and Trinity who are like always calm under pressure. I feel like as soon as something goes wrong for Farrah, the tears are going to come out. And she even promises that. And look, that's another thing that Farrah is known for, was her myriad cry fits on season 9. So if she's going to give us what she's here for, I'm all for it. All right, let's move on to the final queen. I'm sure we're going to have something to say about her, much like she does about literally everything. This is pretty crazy. Look, I understand what you were talking about, Brent, about, you know, it's surprising to have Gia Gunn on the show, considering her remarks against RuPaul's comments about the trans community. But to have someone make a video called RuPaul's Drag Race Fucked Up Drag, and then found herself on not one, but two RuPaul's Drag Race affiliated shows this year, is pretty goddamn ridiculous. I'm talking about Jasmine Masters. Brent, give me your thoughts on seeing Jasmine back here.
I mean, I agree with you. By the way, what Mike is talking about is Jasmine Masters is also on the RuPaul's Drag Race Holla Slay Spectacular, along with seven other queens, who we'll get to in a bit. But this is what I can say. I think that RuPaul is like us and doesn't really take Jasmine Masters too seriously, but she just makes her laugh. And I think that she doesn't care that Jasmine Masters is going to probably get eliminated and go talk smack about RuPaul's Drag Race, because she just thinks it's funny. And I can't explain it, because other than that, I mean, you're basically asking me to read the minds of the producers in RuPaul, who had a big to ask in terms of trying to fill this cast, and they picked Jasmine Masters, who is somebody who has openly attacked the show and what it's done to drag. And I think that their way of looking at it is probably like, you know what, I can't remember everything she said in that video, but my recollection is that she wasn't like attacking RuPaul herself so much as she was attacking the show, because kids watch the show and think they know everything there is to know about drag. So to me, she was kind of attacking the kids that watch the show, not the show itself, because she was mad about all these club kids who they watch, you know, a season of RuPaul's Drag Race. They think they know everything there is to know about drag. They get up in the drag, they go down to the club, they audition to RuPaul's Drag Race, and they get cast. Those are the people that she can't stand. She wants the queens like Latrice, like Manila, who have put in the time, who have put in their dues, and I think that that's what gets her hair in a tizzy, is these little, basically, pheromone-esque people. I think she could get into a fight with pheromone. What am I talking about? So, we'll see. I think that RuPaul just enjoys Jasmine Masters. I think she's a soundbite machine. She's a meme machine. I think we'll be lucky if we get two episodes out of her. But I don't care. I'm glad she's back on my television. I'm also glad I get to see her on the Holla Slay Spectacular. I mean, I just fucking love her. She's great. She's great television. She's not a great RuPaul's Drag Race contestant, but she's great TV. And mm-hmm. I need that. I need that on my TV, you guys.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because my thought process when I saw that Jasmine Masters was on the season, I was like, what the hell? Miss RuPaul Drag Race done fucked up drag, somehow got back on Drag Race. Like, what? That makes right. No sense. And then I started thinking about, okay, let's put that aside. When she was on the show, oh my gosh, so entertaining. Quote machine, the no tea, no shade, no pink lemonade. Mm-hmm. That's all from her. Her, like, for some reason, the butterfly and
yes,
a cocoon,
the cocoon
thing. Yeah, she's like, I'm going to grow because the butterfly is growing in the cocoon. Like, what? This is fabric and a hula hoop. Like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. It's just so entertaining. And, you know, that's Team Good TV. I mean, Jasmine Masters is, you know, there with a bullet. And that's definitely why she's here. And I think her rant, I do agree, it was something about the queens she did, or that were coming on the show, because she went on RuPaul's Drag Race just to make money, you know, because she could, and she's such a good entertainer and all that stuff. So I think obviously it wasn't enough to burn too many bridges, and she is here for the entertainment factor.
So what I will say is, I actually want to like couple my two picks in here with both Farrah and Jasmine. And I say this adage a lot. I think Farrah Moan and Jasmine Masters are fantastic drag queens. I don't know if they're fantastic RuPaul's Drag Race contestants. And there's a certain gauntlet set to things that you're sort of, there's certain tires that you're set to run. You're not able to just run around the field willy-nilly. I think Jasmine, even outside of like her mimetic videos, you know, she's this Patti LaBelle impersonator. That's how she started her career. They talk about her being a craft queen, and now she's able to make some really interesting looks. But I think when it came to Jasmine's time on season 7, you know, we talk about the first challenge with the cocoon, because I think it was the challenge was like a nude reveal. And for some reason, she thought that coming out with a giant tube sock around her body and then dropping it was going to make for a good look. And then she ends up lip syncing for her life because of the travesty that is Shakespeare, coupled with the milk influence beard runway, where all she did was stipple on black beard like she was in like a
look like pubic hair. Oh, wait, was that way? Was that? Yeah, that was her and Kennedy, too. They both looked terrible.
Yeah, like it was a high school production of Fiddler on the Roof where like she couldn't grow the beard. So she just like painted it on. So I'm hopeful that like her sort of gaining confidence in herself as an internet persona has made her realize how she can sort of try to adapt the square peg to the round hole that is RuPaul's Drag Race. The question is, will she have enough time to do that? I'm hopeful if she has enough runway, she can. But to your point, Brent, I don't know if we're going to see her pass a few episodes, but man, those are going to be a fantastic few episodes. Well, we're going to need like a jush counter, considering that's her like turn of phrase.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Go ahead, Liana.
No, well, I was just looking at the beard challenge picture. It's so bad.
I will say this. She looks, have you guys seen her promo look? She looks freaking great. She looks like RuPaul. She looks like RuPaul. She's got this big hair. She's got this, like, her big old smile. Like, I mean, like, everything about this screams RuPaul. And that's the thing. Again, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember her attacking Rue in that video. She attacked maybe the show a little bit. She attacked the stupid kids that watch the show, but she didn't attack the one person that counts. I've never heard her say anything bad about RuPaul to the extent that RuPaul would take offense to it. That's why I think she made it on the show, and good for her, because I'm excited to see her back on my show. I would love to see her just make a run for it. Make it into the top during a challenge. Wow the F out of everybody and just say, you know what, I'm not the same person I used to be. Like, I can do something more than what I was. That's what I need to see from somebody this season.
By the way, have you guys, I think this actually came out yesterday on the day we were recording. Did you see the new holiday-themed promo for RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4?
Yes.
Yes. It's like a Christmas carol kind of thing.
So it's sung by the New York Gay Men's Choir to Carol of the Bells. And I love it because they actually go through the cast and they like, you know, come up with clever rhymes like Manila Luzon, Go Glamazon, Monet Exchange, Slay the Main Stage. Like, they're all pretty good, except for Jasmine Masters. It's Jasmine Masters knows how to work. Like, that is the slantest of slant rhymes I've ever heard. And so, ironically enough, that rhyme does not know how to work.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, although it's not like there's, I mean, I can find stuff that rhymes with both Jasmine and Masters. Like, what's the problem with that? You know, casters, bastards.
Yeah, well, and also a really fun piece of tea from this. I don't know if you guys noticed this. So the final shot, right, is all the queens mouthing or lip syncing, like, you know, here comes the ball, all hail RuPaul or something. There is one queen in particular who mouths the first part, does not mouth all hail RuPaul, and it is Miss Gia Gunn. So again, if you are questioning what Gia's feelings are towards RuPaul, look no further than her choice of omitted lyrics.
Basically, are they going to address this or not? I mean, RuPaul, here's the thing. Okay, because I'm sure some people don't read everything. RuPaul basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she basically said something to the effect of, I don't think, like, we've had trans contestants on the show, and she was very proud of the fact that they've had trans contestants on the show, but trans contestants who were pre-transition, meaning they haven't had the actual medical operation done yet to alter their gender physically. Their gender is you know, you have your own gender identity, but your physical gender is something. And this is a particular area that I am not well versed in, so forgive my stupidity or naivete if I say something incorrect. Here's the thing. Overall, I think that what was I talking about? Oh, about
Gia.
About Gia. Yeah, yeah. What RuPaul said. Sorry, like I had a brain fart. I moved on to something else. Ru said that they've never had contestants on the show that were actually transitioned past tense to a woman, and she said that I think that that would be a little bit like steroids in the Olympics. And that did not sit well with the LGBT community and, frankly, humans at large. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell RuPaul was thinking when she said that. But rightfully, RuPaul got some pushback, so much so that Ru immediately issued a correction the next day and said, basically, I done fucked up. I apologize. You learn more each day. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Please save me. And then Gia Gunn has had some things to say about it since then. And everything that I agree with, by the way. So I think that the show would do right to address this head on. But I am at the mercy of the show whether or not they do. I mean, they might just sweep it under the rug and say and declare victory. Like, hey, we brought on Gia Gunn. I mean, doesn't that show how much we're growing? Or they could go the more interesting route, which is what I want them to do, and actually address what they said and show that this is why we were wrong and this is how we've learned from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that, you know, yeah. I think that mirror talk is substantially reduced in the All-Star season as compared to, like, the, I guess I call them, like, civilian seasons of Drag
yes.
Race. But I think that, yeah. you know, I think, I forget, maybe it was Detox makes this point of how, you know, I think that we got this in Peppermint, but I think Gia's going to be, like, the first fully transitioned queen that we are going to see on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I feel like if you're talking about, like, educating, you know, maybe people in small towns in middle America who don't know a trans person, that is going to speak volumes no matter how many episodes Gia lasts. And I do hope to your point, Brent, that they at least discuss the topic, because I do feel like it is pretty groundbreaking to have her on there in a manner of speaking.
It is. It's a big deal. And especially when you take it in context of in what RuPaul herself said, the host and producer of the show. I just don't think it's something that they can ignore, but they might certainly try. Liana, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that they are going to have, I think they're going to talk about Gia and talk about sort of, I don't know if, how, like what they're going to address in terms of her transition, but I don't think that they'll address the controversy with RuPaul. Like, I think that
you
it's
might be
gonna,
right. yeah.
I think it's going to be something, you know, that we've seen before with something that's going to be inspirational. I think it's going to be a learning opportunity for people who, you know, aren't familiar with this. And I think they're going to paint it in just a really positive overall light, which, you know, is good. But I think they're going to shy away then from the previous controversy and just sort of sweep that under the rug.
And that would be a mistake. That would be a mistake in my eyes if they do that, because I think that the show has the respect of the fans enough to be able to own the fact that, you know, hey, we fucked up. You know, the host of our show, she's a human too, okay? She's not perfect. And she said something that she was dumb and ignorant. And she has learned from that, and here's a good reason why. I wish that they would address it head on, but we'll see. I don't know.
So we shall see that and much more out of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. Let's just give a quick rundown of how the draft went. So my team consists of Manila Luzon, Valentina, and by default, Pheromone and Jasmine Masters. Brent's team consists of Trinity Taylor, Latrice Royale, and Gia Gunn. And Liana has Monet Exchange, Naomi Smalls, Monique Hart, and that's about it. That's our cast, folks. And anything else either one of you two want to talk about All-Stars 4 before we just do a quick little dalliance into the Hollis Slay Spectacular?
I just want to give a big shout out to the fact that I looked at this cast and I looked at how much I love this cast before I even realized about how many Black queens there are on the show, even more than season 10, and you know, percentage wise, and also the fact that they cast Manila Luzon and Gia Gunn on the same show. Obviously, you can tell that Robin Cass isn't casting the show because they put two Asians on the same show. Doesn't that violate some reality TV rule book somewhere? Please, I'm so happy with the fact that how diverse this cast is, and I'm also, you know, maybe I'll give myself a little pat on the back, or maybe you can say it's ignorance. I don't know. The fact that I didn't even really notice it. I thought, oh, well, how amazing are all these queens? And then after the fact, someone pointed out to me how much diversity and color there is in this show. And it's just so great to see where RuPaul's Drag Race has come and where it's at right now. It just warms my heart.
I mean, this cast just has so many talented queens that are contenders. I mean, that's why, Brent, we talked about it being top heavy. Like, I completely agree. And I don't know. I don't know who's going to win. And that excites me also, apart from some of the cannon fodder that we talked about. But who knows? They could surprise us also. I, you know, first when we found out that RuPaul's Drag Race was going to be coming back so soon, there's a little bit like, oh my God, already? But then when I saw the cast list, I started to get pumped. And now, even more so, after seeing some performances and talking about it with the two of you, I mean, come on, December.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. I think it's just a great mix of queens. Like, I think it combines perfectly those who are there to be funny, those who are there to turn looks, those who are there for the drama of it all. Like, literally everything you could like about RuPaul's Drag Race is hopefully going to be mixed within this cast. Now, look, some might go earlier than others, so we might be deprived of certain elements, but we know we're going to bring them back halfway through. We're probably going to see them at the end, so we're going to get a good dose of these 10 queens no matter what. And I think it's such an interesting mix of entertaining people that I'm just ready to strap myself in for the next 8 weeks and see where this is going to take us. And speaking of...
Wait, sorry, something super specific and random, but Nina Bonina Brown played Jasmine Masters in Snatch Game, right?
Yes, she did.
Okay, all right. I don't know what that means, but like, add it to the evidence of stuff.
All right, we'll put it on the cork board for a big Jasmine Masters mole theory that I'm sure is going to be coming about in the next few weeks. But before we get into All Stars 4, we have a little aperitif, something to whet our appetite, leading us into the proper All Stars season. RuPaul's Drag Race Holla Slay Spectacular is going to air next Friday, December 7th. And then All Stars 4 is going to start on Friday night, starting on the 14th. We're going back to Friday again after, you know, All Stars 3 and Season 10 took place on Thursday nights. These are moving back to Fridays. Not sure why. I'm not sure if there's a reason behind it. Maybe they feel like it's a better start for the weekend. You know, you could have like club viewing parties, might be more populated. The winter tends to have slower programming, so maybe they decide to do that. I'm not sure, but just a programming note. But we have 8 queens returning. So, Liana, what information, if any, do we have about what this Holla Slay Spectacular is supposed to be?
Yeah, so we know that it's a special of some sort. The queens that are going to be there are Eureka, Jasmine Masters, Kim Chi, Latrice Royale, Mayhem Miller, Shangela, Sonique, and Trixie Mattel. As far as I know, there's going to be lip syncs and some sort of judging. And then apparently the Drag Race Christmas Queen will be crowned. But that's about all I know for this holiday special.
Yeah, the wiki page says that it's an hour long special and those 8 queens are going to compete to become the Drag Race Christmas Queen, which reminds me of like Charlie Brown when Lucy wanted to be the Christmas Queen in the pageant. Yeah, exactly. The contestants will lip sync to holiday music by RuPaul, including tracks from Sleigh Bells and Christmas Party, which were released in the last 3 years, to choreography by, wait for it, Todrick Hall. So there you have
favorite.
It.
Yeah. Deck the hall, the Todrick Hall. I'm excited for it. It'll be an hour of like
it'll be fun. It's an hour of fun.
It'll be an hour of like lip sync. It seemed like from the commercial I saw, there's a bit of like maybe there's a mini challenge of them like dancing with the pit crew. I took a look at some of like images we got from EW. Liana, you'll be happy to hear that apparently one queen dresses like Krampus in honor for the holidays, which is going to be amazing. I'm excited to see this. It's going to be like a little one-time thing. As a fan of Top Chef, they sometimes used to do this back in the day of like, oh, seasons 1 and 2 chefs cooked against each other for charity in this one-time special. So I feel like, you know, it'll be floofy holiday fun. And of course, the three of us will be back to cover it. The reason why we wanted to preview the All-Stars forecast now is because since there's going to be the Holla Slay Spectacular and All-Stars 4 the week after, it's a little too rushed to squeeze a preview in sometimes. So we thought we'd sort of sum everything up beforehand before we jump into Drag Race proper and we take this wild ride for the next however many months. Who knows? Do we think season 11? Do we think season 11 is going to premiere right after All-Stars 4 ended, like season 10?
I have to believe it. I have to believe it's right around the corner. I really do. And I'm psyched for it. I'm excited to cover all of this. And but by the way, again, the contestants who are on the season, Liana said them really quickly, but, you know, Eureka, who I love, Jasmine Masters, who we get a taste of her, just a little taste of her taint before we get her on All Stars 4.
And then Kimchi, who we haven't seen since the end of season 8.
Oh, I'm so excited. Like, she's been the top of everyone's all-stars list because her looks and makeup are incredible. So I'm happy we finally get her back, even if it's for a one-day thing.
Yes. And then Latrice Royale, who's obviously going to be on All Stars 4 as well. Then we get the return of the robbed goddess, Shangela, against the queen that robbed her in Trixie Mattel. You know that's going to be an angle for the show. Mayhem Miller is back. I fucking love Mayhem Miller. I follow her on Instagram all the time. And then Sonique from season 2, who was 9th place in season 2. I actually don't remember a ton. Season 1 and season 2 are my weakest seasons. But Sonique, I'm excited to see her, you know, like, tear the house down. Like, I think, here's the thing. It's an hour long. I don't even know if there's a money prize at the end or anything. But I'm sure all of the queens are going to be working together to make this as freaking fantastic as possible. So I expect good things from this.
Yeah. Sonique, I think, is also transgender. And so that's also great to see her back. Also, I mean, just a killer performer. Like, I mean, just, she's gonna be great on the show, I think. I think having this like little dose of her is gonna be great. I think, you know, I don't know, does that mean All-Stars 5 some point?
All-Stars,
I don't know.
5, Sonique versus Kimchi. Yes.
Yeah.
It could be interesting. I mean, I don't know if we should look into the fact that, you know, I believe this filmed after All-Stars 4 probably, and you have both Jasmine and Latrice on it. What does that say about, you know, maybe how they did, or do you think they did so well that they got invited back, or do you think they did so poorly that VH1 sort of threw them a bone and said, come back for this? Only time will tell. But just to let you all know how we're going to be covering this. So next week, we're going to be meeting on the weekend after this airs on the 7th to talk through this special. And then starting the weekend of the 14th, we'll be back to our regular weekly coverage of All Stars 4. So basically starting, you know, hopefully this is coming out on the weekend. Basically, from here on out, you're going to be hearing our three lovely voices talking into your ears for hours on end about drag queens for the next 2 months, maybe even more if season 11 comes right after this.
Yes, and by the way, I do want to plug something really quick. I don't know when this is going to be released. Probably sometime tomorrow, Wednesday. We're taping this on Tuesday, but or sometime this week. But make sure you check me out. I'm going to be on my weekly meltdown. We're going to be talking Survivor after the Survivor episodes. It's on about the same time as Know It All, so you might have to catch it on replay on YouTube. But it's called My Weekly Meltdown. You can follow the link. I tweeted out the link. I'll tweet it again tomorrow on Wednesday. But we're going to talk Survivor. We're also going to spill some tea about Big Brother. It should be very fun. And there's some really supportive people. Rob has given me permission, by the way, because I didn't love the fact that it was airing at the same time as Know-It-Alls. But he was very gracious and allowed me to guest over there with Allison and Tyler and company. And so it should be really fun. So make sure you check me out. And if you like hearing me rant about Tyler on Big Brother, I'm sure I'll wet your juices.
Oh, that's a horrible phrase. All right, Liana, you got anything to plug?
No, apart from our Survivor coverage, the RHAP B&B is in full force. It's been so much fun. Seriously, check it out. I feel like the show, just not to toot our own horn, feels like it gets better and better every week.
I have to come by the B&B. I haven't been by there in a while, so maybe next season I can come
shade
by.
Yes.
That was supposed to be this. Yeah, we never even got to use our. I know. We got these amazing buttons whenever we throw shade like this.
I know. I'm surprised. Like nearly 2 hours, we didn't use them at all. We're RuPaul's best friends race.
There are various times I was thinking about it. I saw the button in it, but every time I would like the shade it's already passed. Like it wouldn't make sense, you know. So I was too slow on the draw, Mike.
Well, luckily, we have months on months on months to practice the effectiveness of it.
Yeah.
You can always check out the B&B, as Liana talked about. We'll be covering the last few weeks of Survivor David versus Goliath. I'm always doing stuff for The Hollywood Reporter and Parade, doing exit press for reality television, writing about Star Trek and basically anything under the sun as we approach the long, cold, but exciting winter months. I was also on a Robin Akiva Nita podcast this week, doing a very, very silly Brant Steele simulator where we cast a season of Survivor with 18 of the top 50 fictional characters in TV history, according to some random website. But it was a lot of fun. You can follow all of us on social media if you want to let us know your thoughts on this group of queens before we make the ascent on that uphill hill as Brent said, into All Stars 4. Brent is at One Lucky Gay, spelled O-N-E. Liana is at Liana Boris. I'm at a Mike Bloom type. And now that we're starting to jush up Drag Race coverage, make sure you're subscribed to our Drag Race only feed. And if you want to leave a nice rating and review, of course, we are always appreciative of that. Be the Latrice Royale you want to see in the world and leave some nice feedback with maybe something that'll make us laugh. We're always appreciative of that. But
by the way, Mike, I figured out it's an uphill climb. That's what I was trying to say. I kept saying an uphill hill, and I was like, what? That doesn't sound right.
Oh, I prefer to do the downhill hill.
Yeah, it's all downhill hill from here, basically, from here on. We might have peaked with this preview, but we'll see. So we'll be back next week covering the Hollis Slay Spectacular before we jump full into All Stars 4. Thank you all so much for listening. I am so excited to be talking about one of my favorite shows on TV with these two lovely individuals, and I cannot wait to see what the next few months are going to provide for us. That's going to do it for this week. We'll talk to you next time, but for now, you may sashay away. Bye!